Just prior to Purim, we come upon the second of the four parshios, the four special readings before Pesach. And this reading has to do with remembering Amalek. And remembering what Amalek did to the Jewish people, he attacked us from the rear, sneaking up upon us, attacking those of us who were vulnerable and weak and straggling along. And therefore, we are to remember what he did, never to forget it. And ever since the attack of Amalek upon the Jewish people, Amalek has become the symbol of evil. So much so that as we celebrate Purim and rejoice upon the victory over Haman, we remember that Haman too was a descendant of Amalek. And there are those who feel, and it certainly sounds right to me, that the Nazis, the Germans who killed and wiped out so many millions of our brothers and sisters, that they too carried on the tradition of Amalek, and in a certain sense at least, are or were Amalek. So Amalek is evil. Now, there is certainly evil in the world. And our Torah does not minimize the fact that there is real evil in the world. There are other philosophies, other religions, who say, no, the world is rosy and wonderful and terrific. But we know that's a fairy tale. There is real evil in the world. There are evil people who do evil things. But I would like to focus today upon the evil within us, the evil that we are capable of doing. Now, perhaps you might argue that under the proper circumstances, all of us, those listening to this lecture, could possibly do real evil, murder, reprehensible acts of the worst kind. Possibly true. But there's another kind of evil that we are much more susceptible to, and that is represented by Amalek and gives us something to work on internally in our own selves as we contemplate the lessons of Amalek during this season. And let's not forget that these lectures are devoted to looking at our inner experience, our inside emotions, as we move through the Jewish calendar. What should be going on inside of us in terms of our own serious introspection during the days and the Shabbos that we read the few verses in the Torah which discuss the mitzvah of remembering, never forgetting Amalek? I would like to share with you an approach of Rav Yitzchok Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Livroch. I will be extracting my ideas from an essay of his. It's the first essay in his work on Purim, Pachad Yitzchok. Rabbi Huttner focuses upon a verse which does not appear in the story of Amalek in Parshas Beshalach, nor in the mitzvah to remember Amalek in Parshas Kisetze, but rather focuses upon a posuk in Parshas Bolok, when Bilam, looking into the distant future, surveys all the nations of the world and has the following to say about Amalek. Reshis goyim Amalek, va'achariso adei oved. Amalek was the first of the nations, and his end, his ultimate end, is utter destruction. How are we to understand this idea, the beginning of Amalek, the Reshis Goyim, the Acharis, the end, the ultimate end? What is this suggesting? And listen carefully to Rabbi Huttner's words, because they are quite profound and subtle, but very, very relevant and meaningful, as I hope to show you. Rav Huttner points out that Acharis, the end, the ultimate end, is referring to the Acharis Hayomim, the end of all days, the end of history, the eschatological end. And the end game, so to speak, of history, all the nations of the world will improve and come to recognize God, and there will be this miraculous transformation of all humanity. And all the nations of the world will partake in this. And this is the ultimate meaning, as Rashi says, of the words Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, which Rashi in Chumash says means that we say, Hear, O Israel, God, who is our God today, who is the Jewish God, there will come a time when Hashem Echod, He will be recognized as the one God by all the nations of the world, not just Elokeinu, not just our God. Fine. But, says Rav Huttner, that's not true of Amalek. Amalek will never be redeemed. Amalek will never change. Amalek will have no share in this end of time. Will have no share in the Acharis Hayomim. This is the meaning of Achariso Adei Oved, that the end of Amalek is utter destruction. He has no place in this ultimate end of historical time. Fascinating. Why is that? Because Reshis Goyim Amalek. Because he was the first to attack the Jewish people. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Biyod Romo, Beresh, Galei, they left Mitzrayim in parade-like formation. The whole world knew it. They were invincible, invulnerable, unconquerable. And here, from behind, Amalek sneaks in and attacks those Jews who were straggling behind the marching camp. The first enemy of the Jews laid down a certain archetype, a certain model, a certain matrix, which many, many have followed. And because of that, Amalek is condemned to not be able to take part in the ultimate historical transformation of Acharis Hayomim. Let's look at this a bit deeper, says Rabbi Huttner. There is a beautiful Ma'amar Chazal, statement of our sages, on a posuk in Mishle, which reads, Leitz takei ufesi ya'arim. The verse speaks of two types of individuals. One, the Leitz. We will translate Leitz in a moment, but usually Leitz is translated as the joker, the scoffer, the mocker. Ufesi, the pesi, is the fool, the dunce, the dolt. Who are these archetypes, Leitz and Pesi? Well, Chazal tell us, Pesi is Yisro. And that's a discussion for a number of times. Why Yisro should be labeled the Pesi, the fool. However, Leitz refers to Amalek. Amalek is the ultimate Leitz, the ultimate mocker or scoffer. I remember hearing a tape of this particular essay, which is written up in Pachad Yitzchok, in Rabbi Huttner's posthumously published written works. But I heard an audio tape of this, in which he expands upon the meaning of Leitz, and gropes for the English translation of the word Leitz. And instead of the usual translation, that Leitz is a clown, a mocker, a scoffer, a joker, he suggests that the real meaning of Leitz is the cynic, C-Y-N-I-C, the person who is cynical, who is guilty of cynicism. Of course, it's left for us now to define exactly what is cynicism, who or what is the cynic. So let's put that aside and go still deeper into Rabbi Huttner's analysis. In general, the Torah and Chazal tell us not to be leitzim. In Rabbi Huttner's translation, that means don't be cynical, don't be a jokester, a clown. However, the Talmud tells us that whereas kol leitzenuso asiro, all types of cynicism and mockery are prohibited, are wrong, chutz mileitzenusa de avodah zorah, When it comes to being cynical about idolatry, when it comes to poking fun at idols, I-D-O-L-S, then that's perfectly permissible. How are we to understand this concept of leitznusa de avodah zorah, being a leitz, cynic, or a joker when it comes to idolatry? Another step in Rabbi Huttner's argument. There is another verse in Mishle, in Proverbs, which reads, Mitzrof lakesef v'kur lazohov. There are forges, furnaces, which refine silver and cleanse gold. The ish lefi mahalalo. A person is according to those who praise him. The standard simple interpretation of ish lefi mahalalo is that we can know a person by those who praise him. If people in the street tell you that Chaim Yankel is a wonderful fellow, well, then this tells you something about Chaim Yankel. If you're looking to hire Chaim Yankel, and many references say he's a good man, a reliable man, an honest man, a diligent man, then you know that Chaim Yankel is a worthwhile employee. Ish lefi mahalalo. You determine the nature of a person according to those who praise him. However, Rabbi Huttner introduces us to a different explanation, one given by none other than the Rabbeinu Yonah, the great medieval rabbi, Rabbeinu Yonah of Girona, or Gerondi. And he writes in his commentary on Mishle, and I have encountered this idea, this concept, in other passages of Rabbeinu Yonah's works, such as the Sha'arei Tshuva. And he turns it topsy-turvy. He says, Ish lefi mahalalo does not so much mean that you can understand the nature of a person from who praises him, but rather you can understand a person from whom he praises. If you know someone, and you see that this person is busy praising and acknowledging and appreciating honesty, beauty, truth, devotion, avodas Hashem, then you know that person is a wonderful person, because look at what he praises. If he spends his time praising great athletes and wonderful movie stars, then you know that you cannot take him seriously religiously. And if he spends his time praising knaves and scoundrels, then you know that he too has some knave or scoundrel inside of him. Ish lefi mahalalo then means a person can be judged according to those things which he values, according to those objects or persons or ideas which he is mahalel, which he praises. Rav Huttner explains this in a beautiful way. He says, suppose I presented you with two people. One studied Torah all day and all night. He was in some long-term kollel where he woke up early in the morning to study Torah. And when he davened, he shuckled and he prayed, and he was a wonderful person as far as we could tell. And there's another person who's not at all involved in Torah. He might go to a shir, maybe even a couple of times a week, but he's basically not involved in Torah. All right. So you would look at the two and say, well, this one's a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham. He stands at the top of the ladder. The other person, a fine fellow, but, you know, kind of average, mediocre, nothing very special. But suppose I then told you that when a wealthy man comes to visit this kollel student one evening, the man says, oh, a wealthy man is coming. He opens the door, he greets him, sits him down, curries his favor, tells him how wonderful he is, etc. But half an hour later, when a Talmud Chacham, a great rabbi, knocks at the door, the kollel man says, I have no time for you tonight. I'm very sorry. Perhaps come again next week. And the other person, the person who does not study Torah all that much, kind of the average fellow, when a rich man comes to visit him, he receives him properly, but he doesn't lose himself over the guy. However, if he's told that a great rabbi, a great Talmud Chacham is coming to visit you, he will say, oh, I have to prepare the house, tell him to please come, I'll make him comfortable, does he want dinner? and he treats him with great respect. Well then, says Rabbi Hutna, this turned things topsy-turvy, because now we know that the man who's studying Torah all day, his basic value is wealth, not wisdom. His basic mahalalo is he the object of his hilul, the object of his praise, the object of his admiration is the great wealthy man. And he's not at all impressed, quite the contrary, by the great Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, the ordinary fellow who barely has time to study Torah once or twice a week, but look what he values. He doesn't especially value wealth, but he values wisdom. He values piety. He values the Talmud Chacham. He values the great Rav. By whom a person ultimately values, says Rav Hutna, paraphrasing Rabbeinu Yonah, Ish lefima halalo, we see that you can't judge on the surface. You have to get down to the level of what the person really values, of whom the person really respects, and then you know who the person is. Ish lefima halalo. Now, says Rav Hutna, we all have within us what he calls this koach hahilul, this ability to really value something, to appreciate something, to admire a person, a concept, an idea. That is our koach hahilul. That is our capacity for evaluating something positively. That's the good news. But then says Rav Hutna, and here we come to what I'm calling in this series of lectures, the inner struggle, the introspection. Inside each of us, there is an opposite koach. There is a force, a mental force, which goes against this koach hahilul, which says to us, don't value anything, don't admire anything. Everything is nonsense, everything is garbage, they're no good, it's not really pretty, it's not really true, he's not really wise, he's not really pious. Don't value things. Don't be a mehalel. That koach, which we all have, to debunk everything, to look down upon everything, that is the koach of leitzonus. That is the koach in English of cynicism. The cynic is the person who values nothing. By him, no one is great, no one is for real, everyone is fake, everyone is a hypocrite. He values nothing and nobody. So within each of us, there is a war going on. There is a power within us called koach hahilul, and that's the power which would have us value things, value a beautiful, beautiful landscape, value an admirable poem, value a great tzaddik, value the drawings brought home to us by a kindergarten child or grandchild. But then, over and against that koach hahilul, there is a koach of leitzanut, of leitzonus, a koach of cynicism, which says, landscapes, romantic, sentimental nonsense. Poem, a bunch of words, it has no meaning. Tzaddik, he's a faker, he's a phony, he's a chnok. Drawing that my kid drew in kindergarten, a sloppy, scratchy mess, no big deal, he's certainly not going to be an artist. That koach of putting things down, of not allowing yourself to really value things, that's the power of cynicism. That's the koach haleitzonus, which combats the koach of hilul. And this is the war inside of us. I remember on the tape that I heard of Rav Hutna giving this particular lecture, he said so powerfully, he slipped from Yiddish into English, and he said, the person who is the cynic, who is the leitz, does so by saying two words. And those two words are, so what? Big deal. So you brought home 100 on a math test. Big deal. So you painted a beautiful picture. Big deal. So you wrote a wonderful sefer. Big deal. So what? I'm not impressed by it. That's the cynic. And that's a very, very poisonous attitude. And the koach of hilul inside of us tries to combat the koach haleitzonus, the koach of valuing against the koach, the power of cynicism, and we're stuck between these two forces. Amolek, says Rabbi Hutna, is identified by Chazal as the leitz. He is the cynic. He is the archetype of that person who just puts things down, who doesn't see things as valuable, who says, big deal, so what, doesn't mean anything to him. It's all fake, it's all phony, all worth nothing. That's a mullah. And that is what we are told to remember and to combat. To combat this power of Amalek, which is not just Hitler and Haman. It's inside of us, inside of all of us. It's the power of cynicism, which undoes so many good things because it can't allow itself to value, to really appreciate and admire other works, others' works, other accomplishments, other people. This is the power of Leitzonos. This is the power of Amalek. And how did Amalek do this? Well, here, Rav Huttner resorts to the famous commentary of Rashi. When the Torah tells the story of Amalek, it says, this Amalek, asher korcho baderech, all right, which literally means he encountered you upon the road when you were vulnerable and attacked you. But Rashi says that asher korcho, the word korcho, can mean not to encounter, but rather kar, kor, cold. He cooled you off. And Rashi gives the example of a ambati, rosachas, a boiling cauldron, a boiling tub of water that no one can go into it because it's scalding water. And along comes someone, jumps into it, he gets scorched, but he cools off the water. So too, says Rashi, when the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, they were a boiling, seething cauldron, full of possibilities and potentials and enthusiasm and fire, heat. Amalek came and cooled it all off. He said, big deal, so what? So the sea split for them. So there were 10 plagues. So this, so that. Doesn't impress me at all. Nothing with nothing. I can still attack you. And that made him the Reishis Goyim Amalek. That made him the forerunner of all other forces which do not value beauty and truth and all that is good and noble in the world, but cynically say, it's all fake, it's all garnished, it's all big deal, so what? This is the power of Amalek. Now, with these beautiful thoughts of Rav Huttner, and he says much more in the essay, which I recommend to you if you have access to his work. It's, the first essay in his collection, Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. But the lesson for us here is really very important. Because Parsha Zohar, now, is, of course, a time for Jewish people, and the custom now is for men and to women to make sure you come to shul and you hear the reading of those psukim which tell us not to forget, to always remember Amalek. And we hear these few verses in the Torah, and it's considered a mitzvah saseh do raisa, and everyone is quiet, and the Baal Kori is careful to learn every word aloud and punctiliously repeating a word which might have another possible pronunciation, etc. That's the mitzvah, but that's the external. In this series of lectures, I'm asking you to come with me and look at the internal. And the internal here is, number one, to recognize that there is within all of us the power of Amalek. If we define Amalek as leitzonus, as cynicism, as devaluating all that is precious and good, but that we also have another power inside of us, and that is the ish lefi mahalalo, that is the koach hahilul, the power to appreciate and to value even things which are strange to us, to appreciate that other people also have something worthwhile, whether it is in the area of philosophy or psychology or poetry or literature or architecture or music. And to appreciate that as something wonderful and noble and precious and good, that's the koach hahilul. We have within us this constant war, koach hahilul, koach haleitzonos, Amalek versus the other part of us. And remembering Amalek means being on constant guard, being constantly vigilant against the tendency, and I think in modern times, this tendency is even more powerful than ever, to be cynical, to debunk, to find things totally unimpressive, to just go about the world being very blasé, nothing affects me, nothing moves me, it's all a bunch of garbage. The attitude of big deal, so what? That is very prevalent today. Indeed, one might say that leitzonus hu ba'ochreinu, leitzonus, this power of cynicism, is one of the central problems of the Jewish people today, because there's no longer as much idealism as there used to be, no longer as much passion, no longer as much commitment, because we've seen it all. We've, as the expression goes, we've been there, done that. That's a cynical attitude. Yeah, no big deal, you know, traveling to Switzerland and seeing the Alps. Been there, done that. That's the cynic. The other person says, the Alps, wow, how beautiful, how astounding, the handiwork of God, how impressive, wow. That's the koach ha'hilul. And it applies to so many things. I urge you to consider these thoughts as we come to Parshas Zohar, to reading about Amalek, and to realizing it's not just about history, it's not just about evil in the sense of murder and war and terribly reprehensible things. It's about us. It's about a part of the inside of us that can, with a few words or even a frown on our faces, express what Amalek expressed, cynicism, or can express the opposite of Amalek, and that is idealism, commitment, nobility, and fervor and enthusiasm, valuing things outside of ourselves. Hopefully, as we live through this Parshas Zohar, we will take these teachings to heart, and this will help prepare the way, as I hope to tell you in the next talk, toward the joyous holiday of Purim, which this year, Purim is on a Saturday night, Sunday. Shabbos is Parshas Zohar, so we go immediately from remembering about controlling our cynicism toward rejoicing and celebrating the beautiful, beautiful holiday of Purim. Thank you.